Okay, today's daf is Daf Yud Tet, and we continue learning about Neshech and Tarbit, charging interest. So Ketiv, it says, Et kaspecha titen lo b'neshech, umarbit lo titen ochlecha. Now, we explained already that the terms Neshech and Tarbit, we've said in the Mishnah speak, if you like, one's differentiating Draisa or Rabbanan, but really, Minat Torah, they're both Isurim, that are two Isurim that are actually associated with one act. So we saw that Kesef, the Neshech is associated with Kesef in the Pasuk, and Marbit has got to do with food. So we explained that Ribbit Doraita can apply to both money and food, meaning what you lend out and what you're receiving. What you're receiving is more than you lent out, either in money or in volume of food. That is Ribbit. So the Gemara says, okay, well, Neshech ba'ochel, but Ribbit is referred to be'kesef. Neshech ba'ochel, Ribbit be'kesef minayin. What about the other way around? How do you know both Yisurim apply to both? Talmud Lomar, Al tikach mito Neshech b'tarbit. So Neshech b'tarbit is connected one to the other. Hikish Neshech le'tarbit. The tarbit le'Neshech. Ma Neshech kesef, a tarbit Nesh kesef. Ma tarbit ochel, af Neshech ochel. So they're connected together, both Neshech and Tarbit. There's really no nafkamina between the two of them on a Doraita level in the Torah's understanding of it. Okay, now what the Gemara discusses is the case of Tarbit. So that's why, if you remember, we read just like about four lines up from the bottom of the previous Amud. It says Ezu Tarbit, and we didn't even start talking about it. So that's why the Marfulda says that piece of Ezu Tarbit introduction should probably begin mentioned here, because this is where we're going back to the Mishnah, discussing the Mishnah's terminology of Tarbit. Okay, in any event, so the Gemara now says, it says, Lakach mimunochitin midena zahav hakur v'chen ashar. So if you remember, we said that the case in the Mishnah was, is someone says, I'd like to buy from you a particular volume of wheat for a dinar. Okay? And v'chen ashar, importantly, and that was, ex and he gave him the money, and importantly, that the price was released at that point. And the way I explained it to you at the time is, since he can go out, the person can go out and purchase wheat at that time, it's not ribbit if the eventually when the wheat is provided back to him, it's at increased value. Okay, that's what we, because we said it's effective like it's already his. Okay, the issue was in the later cases where he said, okay, give me my wheat, and he says, well, you know what, okay, it's worth 30, but I will give you wine of that quantity. In that situation, since he didn't have wine and he didn't have money to go out and buy wine at the time, therefore you're going to run into a problem of tarbit, because effectively if the wine goes up in value, you're returning to him more than you owed him. And that was the issue of Ribbit Midrabbanan. So the Gemara now says, Amrav Kana, Amrav Ba Bar Kana, sorry, Vuhu Ashar, Hu Yafe, when it says Vuhu Ashar, meaning the 25 is the value of the dinar zahav for this, the amount of wheat that we said in the Mishnah. Again, it was a kur, I think it was, yes. Yeah, for kur. It says, Hashar Shehu Yafe Leolam, that's a good price, it sounds like. That's a fair price, 25. Pachot Mikan Vaila Zvuna, and your term account of mazbana. He says, if it's less than that, woe to the person, the seller, and if it's more than that, woe to the purchaser. Okay, that seemed to be the go, like 25, the example on the Mishnah, seemed to be the standard going white, which is a fair price for everybody. If it's higher than that, it goes all the way up, then we say that I'll never to the people that are purchasing, because it seems that we've got an inflation issue. And if it goes all the way down, it seems like we've got an excess issue, and never to the person trying to sell and make an income, because you can't make so much money. Okay, fine. But now let's go more to the technicalities of what we said in our Mishnah, which is, Amalot ten lichitai sha'ani mochran. Now here the Oz V'Hadar does a whole lot of gears, like inserts bits and pieces in, but we're not going to do any of that, because it doesn't seem the Mara Folder sort of follows that. So it says as follows. So Amalot ten lichitai sha'ani mochran. The Gemara says, B'ma kana. So to explain that question, B'ma kana, is I'll show you the Marfulda. He says, "B'ma kana halokecha tachitin, shrein lemoch chitin." We said the whole reason why this works, if you remember, that it's not a problem if you made this arrangement of supplying me this kur of chitin for 25. That even if it goes up in value, you can, like, it's fine. It's not considered ribbit by the time he supplied of it. Is because we said that, oh, you know, we said v'chen ashar, meaning it seems to be that that's the price that we released. He's given the money, and he could have gone out and bought it himself. But the question is how did he buy the wheat at that point that it's considered his already? He says, "Kidetnan v'chen ashar mashma she'ein lo." It must be that the person who had the wheat in position didn't have any wheat, because the Mishnah interjects at that point by saying, "V'chen ashar which was the indicator for that justification I explained to you, that he could go out and buy it himself at that point, the supplier. So because it's v'ilo hayalo, hayiti omer shignikna lo achitin ba'aram otanane. Had he had any possession, I wouldn't have had a kasha. I wouldn't have a kasha because at the time he handed over the money, he could say he already owns it, and if it goes up in value by the time he delivers it, that's not a problem. However, shemina tor monakonot, because I could have said makonot aval hashta ein lo b'makshekana. But in this situation, he's handed over money, and there's nothing there for him. There's nothing that in the so-called supplier's possession. He doesn't have any way to say he's purchased it. So isn't this just a classic issue of ribbit? So how are we getting around this problem of ribbit? So the Gemara now says, which is interesting, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov Savar Meimar Chayev Amid L'Chaveiro. I read the Marful, then I want to go through the Ribbaz with you, which says the same thing but in more detail. He says, Savar Chayev La'amid L'Chaveiro, meaning kol much ematavei she'itva mimenu chayev limid lo. Since in this situation with agreement, he's paid him money to supply him with wheat, at any point he can demand the wheat. And if the supplier doesn't supply the wheat, v'im lav yikabel alav mishapara, there'll be an issue of mishapara im yirtzeh, if the guy wants to go back. Ho'il v'kibel mamameno, because since he's already received the money, v'chen perish Rambam. So what? Like, in other words, seems to be, since he's paid the money, there's almost like a mishapara, a strong bond, or that requires him to supply the wheat. So we need a little bit more detail. He explained the Rambam. So let me show the Ribbaz explains in more detail. He says, Dibramach Rav Nachman says, Chayv says, Perush, HaMocher has to supply the L'Chavero Kishyatza Ashar because the price has already come out. Afal Bishain Lo, despite the fact he doesn't have it, Muchuyav Litroach not Avuro. Already at that point in time, he is Muchuyav, there's an obligation on the Mocher to go out and buy wheat at that point in time to supply it. It's a Chiyuv. V'chem Pasaka Rambam, according to the Rambam. Perak Chaf Bet, Milchot Mechira, Halacha Gimel. Hapulseki paskins al shar shebashuk v'kibel. In other words, if sorry, hapulsek al shar shebashuk. If he says, the going rate of wheat now is 25. Here, I want you to supply me this wheat at that growing rate. V'kibel damin is accepted the money, the supplier, even if he doesn't have. V'lo ya oto amin shepasak alav. He doesn't have the in his possession to consider it sold at a point. Brosh ha-mocher, chayv liknot v'liten lokeach masha pasak. He's already mechuyev to go and purchase it. V'im chazar, and if he goes back, he is mekabel mishapara. V'mafarshim za'almim la'vim makol Rambam. And the mafarshim trying to find, they scratch their heads to try and work out where the Rambam get this from. Ledin zen, says, ayin v'perek chaf bet, sham b'nosek heilav. U'be'emet, the Ribbaz says, this is Yerushalmi here. Many times the Rambam, they say, like, if Rambam finds something that people don't know where we got it from, just look in the Rishalmi, you'll find it. And that's exactly what Rabbi Ridbaz says. He says, Hazeh muchach ken mufurash. Didavka gabei yayin. In that later case in the development of the story when it came to the wine. Tana de yayin ein lo, when he didn't have wine, that was a problem. Aval chitin afilu ein lo, even if it doesn't, nami motar, it's okay. Mishum de came on the Isura baliado, de mali hen mali dmehen. Since the Isuro, meaning the fact I think he's mechuyev to pay it back, otherwise he gives him a shapara, that is so strong that it makes no difference if you say the weight or the value of the weight in his in the mocher's possession now. Kim the Eshlo damim umatsui lo ktzitzi has the money and he can go out and purchase it. Hareze dami kemishi Yeshlo, it's as if the Chazal understand, it's as if he already has the wheat in his possession, and it's as if the purchaser already owns it. What it's a tremendous chiddush. And he says, Vayim Rashi continues, right? So in other words, the kasha of the Gemara was, it says, I don't understand. How is it he's paid the money? The guy doesn't have any wheat in his possession. So how can you say it's already considered like he owns it? Such that if it goes up in value, it's not considered ribbit. So we're saying, no, that since he's handed over the money and yatzah hashar, and he has the capacity to go out and he has the means, meaning the money, the seller, money he's received, and the opportunity, meaning it's possible to go, the yatzah hashar, he can go to the marketplace and buy it straight away. And there's a chiyuv because of a mishapara if he doesn't go ahead and do so. We consider it as if it's already like the wheat's in his possession of the purchaser. Because of that, because of the chiyuv, that's the chiddush of the chiyuv mishapara. That's how we explain it. Okay? The issue was, just for sake of completeness, and as a story developed when he tried to do it with wine, he didn't have that means in his possession to go out and buy it, even if he had tzar hashar. He had no money to go ahead and do so. So therefore, we couldn't create that to the extent that as if the person already owned the wine from the beginning, and that's why you're going to run into problems of a, if you like, a rib or tarbit, as we said, the issue of rib in the Ravana. Okay, let's continue. Hamal ben Chavro says, let's say to someone that's a friend of mine, as we said. So, Chad bar Nash, Asher lechavre dinarin. Oh, so that relates, by the way, to the second part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamal ben Chavro loy dor b'chatzero b'chanim. Someone rented some, lent someone money. The lender can't live in the borrower's chatzer for free, or he can't rent a property for him at a discounted rate, because again, he's getting extra benefits, side benefits from lending money, which is effectively equal to, as we said, ribbit. So now the Gemara says, he lent him money, and the lender end up living in his house or property. You've been living in my place, so pay up. Amarle, have the dinner. I'm not going to pay anything. I was assumed to be free. Give me my money back. So ata uvde kamei rabba came before bar mina. Amarle says the kimle ma dahave chamei lemishrei. What you can kimle means is saying you can deduct from your debt the rental that you should have received from him living in your property. In other words, because if you didn't, meaning if you didn't take any money from him, it would be considered effectively ribbit, as we said, as interest. You're getting this, the lender's getting this side benefit for nothing as a result, or connected back to lend you money. So therefore, we'll deduct it from the debt. So therefore, there would be, so that way there won't be any issues of ribbit. If he doesn't want to pay, if he doesn't want to pay you the rent, we'll deduct it from the debt and it's fine. Okay, let's continue. Tani eshtavrim shehen ribbit umutarim. There are certain things that would appear like ribbit, and they are actually mutar. Here's an important brayta. So what is this? Ketzad. Let's say someone purchases debts, like contracts from his friend, but pachot, from less than the debt value. You know, you can do this nowadays. They buy, you know, what they're called, that's how the whole financial crisis happened, the most recent one, where they bought all these bad debt. They were being these bundles of bad debt. So he bought someone's debt, and he bought it for less than the value of the debt was, and he went and collected it. So it was a debt that was worth 100, and he purchased it for 90. In that situation, we don't treat it as ribbit, because all he did was buy a, let's call it a bad debt, and he was able to profit on it. But that's not interest, because the person who bought this, he didn't lend money and get more money back. It's not interest at all. So it has the appearance of ribbit, because you've paid effectively for a debt less money than you're collecting, but that's not ribbit. That's mutar. However, the yesh dvarim she'enam ribbit, there are certain things that are not technically ribbit. The asurim, we still say don't do mishum ha'aramat ribbit, because it looks like you're doing harama, you're doing sort of trickery to affect ribbit, even though it's not ribbit. So you have to explain why it's not ribbit. We'll get to that soon. So ketzad. So here for this ketzad, we'll switch across to the Mar Fulda, who gives a different girsa here. He says hilvani hilveni maneh. He says, "Lend me a 100, a maneh, which is 25 dinar, I think." So Amar lo maneh ain li, chitim ba maneh yesh li. You know, I don't have money of 100, but you know what? I will lend you, if you like, wheat worth 100. Okay, then yesh li. Sorry, ain li chitim yesh li maneh yesh li. Shanita lacha chitim, and he gave him the wheat. The chazar, the person who lent him the wheat, what he did, chazar v'lakcha mimeno be'esrim v'arba. What he did, he purchased that wheat back for less than the value, which is 24. So effect, and now what's going to happen? He's still owed the 25. So in that situation, rabba selah, nonetheless, mutar, it's still okay, v'asum mishum harabat ribit. Because in this situation, is it really ribit what he did? No. Because all he did was purchase it back for a less of a rate. So he's going to get more money back at the end of the, well, let's call it, he get more value back at the end of the day. But that purchasing back was not through the context of normal debt. Like it wasn't through the debt. It was just, I purchased back the wheat that I lent you, and you're going to eventually have to pay me back the value eventually. Okay? But when he purchased back at a discount. So I'll just read the Mar Fulda. It says, V'chazar v'lakav imenu v'arbim sela. He sold it for less than the real value, which is 25. Because he didn't, if you like, pay more for the wheat, rather, because, you know, sorry, start again. The person didn't take a higher value back and pay more wheat back. He just reduced its selling price. So the question is, now the Gemara now is saying, but the question, the Gemara is going to have a question based on our Mishnah. The azil gabe, the fact that he gave him at a cheaper price, lama in kan ribbit, why is this not ribbit? Shezeh amar le hamal velo ve v'chi lo hayta tzricha leteno agar kelim o agar ketafayim, etc. I'll explain the explanation in a minute. Let me just explain outside, otherwise it's going to go too fast and marfulda. Our Mishnah said that if someone lent someone else's money, the borrower can't give the lender any, if you like, extra benefits. For example, rent him a house at a lower rate, let him be in his chatzar for a cheaper price. But in this situation, what's happened? He's effectively, this borrower has sold the wheat back at a lower price. He's giving him some sort of benefit. So why is it, even though it might not necessarily directly be ribbit in terms of paying back more, he's giving these side benefits that we said still constitute ribbit. For example, you can live in my house for cheaper. So we said in this case that it's not really ribbit, but it's asul mushum harama ribbit because it looks like you're trying to do ribbit. But now what we're saying, the Gemara is, the question of the Gemara is, I don't understand, because it's you're giving him a side, you're still giving some sort of side benefit by giving him, like by the lender selling wheat to the, so the borrower selling the wheat to the lender at a discounted rate. That discount is a side benefit. So isn't this ribbit? So the Gemara now says, so back to the Gemara, it says, Amar le late atzarech v'havi agar kelim or agar ketafayim akuli v'savdienarech. So I'll go back to Marfulda where we left off from. It says, Shezeh amar le amal v'lelo v'chilo hayita tzarech liten agar kelim or agar ketafayim hanosim chitim lavi perot lebeiti v'ata marvach elu hatzaot. In other words, what he's saying is that you borrow this wheat. You were going to have to sell it to other people. Now, to sell to other people is going to be tremendous expenses. You're going to have transport costs. You're going to have other costs. But I'm saving you those costs by because they're already affected in my house because he lent it and it's been brought it back straight away. So therefore, those expenses simply you're deducting. So in other words, you're not giving me a better rate because from the perspective of your overheads, you're saving on those overheads, so pass that saving on to me. So in other words, that's why it's not necessary. It's not the same as the case in the Mishnah where he says, "Oh, I'm not going to let you like be my property for a discounted rate," because that's giving him an actual saving, direct saving that the lovers, if you like, losing out from, and that's why it's considered ribbit. In this situation, the mother is saying, when I'm buying at a discounted rate, you're not losing anything by giving the discounted rate because you're saving in all these transport costs. So that's why it's not a kasha on the Mishnah, and that's why this is one of the situations where it's not ribbit, but it's like haramat ribbit. The whole the way it's been engineered ends up effectively looking like ribbit, even though it's not. But you were still able to avoid all issues of ribbit. Okay. So in other words, it's interesting. You can get very clever Jewish accountants that can try and navigate around ribbit, but with the Chachamim still say, look, there's still what's called haramat ribbit. Even if you tick all the boxes, you still got to worry about laws of ribbit. Okay, let's continue.
Well, it's called creative accounting.
Great. Yeah, well, that seemed to be like a creative accounting thing that the Chazal said, look, we're also Jews, we're also pretty clever, and that's still haramat ribbit. We don't want you to do it. Okay. It's like they say here, like, one of the things you're told when you make Aliyah is that, in Chutz La'aretz, you had a Jewish accountant. He could work it out how to find these, all these different legal schemes that you can reduce tax. And they were talking like Israel. It's like the tax system is also run by Jews here, so it's not as not as simple. Fine, Beseder. Let's continue. Now, the next three lines are actually meant to be mentioned after the next Mishnah, and. It's a common thing. I saw this. We've seen this a lot, that sometimes the few lines just before the Mishnah are really meant to be after the Mishnah. And I saw an Askara mentioned, I think, Panimero in back in, well, a few different, few, cited a few different sources back in Shvi'it, but that it seemed to be the Mishnayot itself were mentioned in a block in the beginning of the Perek, and the Lushan was just sort of written. And it's said to be later they end up breaking up the mishnah and putting it throughout the parak itself. So sometimes the reliability of where it's actually placed, you don't is not so strong. You know, like you don't be. So that's why sometimes we find a few lines actually mentioned before mishnah actually explaining the mishnah that we're about to read. And we've seen that a lot of times together, I think. So let's learn the mishnah first, and we'll come back to that. These last three lines of the gemara. The gemara now says, "Marbim ala schar ve'im aben al mecher." What this means is you can have what's called schar hamtana, which is not good. What that means is you pay me now, it costs X, you pay me later, you're going to have to pay more. Okay, so in a contract for sale, we have to pay me now. And I'm saying, okay, I'll let you pay in 6 months, but you're going to have to pay me more. That's ribbit, because you're taking more money for the in order to be paid at a later date, right? Well, the person's willing to pay you more money so they can hold on to their money that they owe you longer. That's ribbit. That's interest. However, what we'll see in certain situations where the payment is only meant to be is only due at the end, that's a different story altogether. So let's have a look. So I read the Marafold. He says, he says, explain, for example, a rental. When is the money due? It's being due at the end, not in the outset. So therefore, the kindle mata zimne lava aganata. Since he doesn't have to collect it in the beginning, it's only at the end. By saying, oh, if you pay up front, it'll be cheaper. Well, it's not schar hamtana anymore because it's only due at the very end anyway. That's not a problem of ribbit. For example, again, if you pay up front, it will be cheaper for you. However, if he's in a context of a sale, if you sell something, you have to pay immediately up front. And if you delay payment and want to accept more money for a delayed payment, well, that's effectively like charging interest on a loan. That's effectively the decision. That's why it says mambala sachar, meaning like rental. That's fine. You can have some sort of pay early, you get a discount. Pay later, it's going to cost more. That's not a problem. But a mecher is a problem. If you have tashlumim with interest, that is interest, there's no question. The Gemara says, Ketzad, hiskir lo tachatzer, let's say he rented out a chatzer. Ve'amar lo, and said to him, Im ma'achshav, if you pay now, ata noten li, hare, you may want to pay right now, hare lacha be'eser salim l'shan, it's going to cost you 10 salim for a year. Ve'im b'shal chodesh b'chodesh, if you pay monthly, then it's cost you sela per month. Again, that's not a problem. It's not considered interest there, because he only has to pay you at the end. You're just saying, I'll give you a discount if you pay up front. It's not a problem. However, macharlo, if he actually sells him a field, the amar law, if you pay up front now when you're meant to be paying, then it's gonna 1,000. Vimlagorn, if you're not gonna only gonna pay me in a few months' time, meaning like some sort of payment plan, and then if I'm gonna charge you interest on it, then that's asur. You know, the goren, Beshne Masar, Mamne, then that'll be asur. They're gonna pay you more. That's classic interest. Fine. Now, I'll show you here. Then, so the Gemara continues. Let's say someone buys a field and he pays a partial payment. You know, whenever you want, pay the rest, and then you can take it. In that situation, it's asur. What's asur? So I'll show you the mar folder. He says, the issue we're facing here is that Reuven sells his field to Shimon. Shimon only pays partially, and Reuven says, you know, when you pay the rest, it'll be yours from now. In that situation, he says, Leficha asul, you cannot do that. Why? Because who's allowed to eat the payrot in the intervening period? Sheim yochal hamocher, if the mocher eats fruit during that time, betoch kach, when the Shimon finally comes and pays off the remainder, nimtza, we find that the field was always Shimon's from the outset. And Reuben was eating fruit, the fruit that he enjoyed in the intervening period was effectively his interest. The extra benefit he was getting from that which really belonged to Shimon for delaying in payment. So Reuben can't eat from it. And if you want to say, okay, so during this period, let Shimon eat from the fruit. Maybe Shimon will never be able to pay the rest. The deal goes back. And then the Reuven will have to return the deposit, the down payment, if you like. And if he does that, nimtza, you find that Reuven was effectively borrowing during the period, that down payment. And Shimon was getting extra benefit from the field by eating the payroll. So he was charging interest. It's like that money by Reuven was effectively like a loan because he's returning eventually, and that's Shimon ate it. So the problem with doing this whole arrangement of a down payment, saying, look, not down payment, you pay now, and when you pay the rest, it'll be yours from now, is that there's no one who'll be able to eat the fruit. Because if the sale goes through, then the seller's been effectively eating, if he eats it'll be charging interest. And it doesn't go through, and the buyer was eating the fruit during the period, it was never his, and he's been eating fruit, effectively getting interest for the money, so-called lent the seller, and then it's going to be returned to him. That's why it's asked, that's why he can't do it. Let's say someone sells someone a field, and he says, if you don't give me my money within 3 years, sorry, start again, not sells, he lends money on a field, meaning the field is a guarantee for the loan. And he says, if you don't pay me back from within 3 years, then the field is mine, then it's his. Now, importantly, the Mefarshim Mishnah, so Katik may have mentioned, I've looked this up before, it must be that during this period, all the produce is kept in trust. Because otherwise, you're going to run into, if it goes through or doesn't go through, you're going to run into issues of ribbit. Okay? So we're sort of dealing with that issue. So, Baitus ben Zunin would do this, Alpi Chachamim, because it gave the people opportunity to, borrow money and then effectively get land if they couldn't pay back. What's it called? Releasing capital from your money from your capital, whatever it is. It was a way of helping people out in that way. So there, what to discuss in the Mishnah, Mr. Shem will pick up next year. I'll tell you that was it.